Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Manveen Rana from The Story, a daily news podcast from The Times. Join me and my co-host, Luke Jones, for a deep dive into the big stories and investigations. Plus, each month, William Hague hosts an agenda-setting interview with a key newsmaker or big thinker. That's The Story, The Times' daily podcast that brings you one remarkable story told in depth. Listen every weekday on The Times radio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Darling, we're going to get you out for a nice lunch and a little glass of wine. You'll feel much better. No, you'll feel much better. You do need a glass of wine. Giles has got a bit of a hangover this morning, haven't you, darling?
Yes.
It's fine. I can do all the talking. I feel great today.
You said that I looked tired and hungover.
You do, but you do look tired.
Are we going now? Oh, this podcast is going to be about my hangover.
Yeah, we haven't had a podcast about a hangover for ages. I said, darling, are you all right? Do you need anything? You look a bit tired and hungover. And I knew you were hungover because you bounced, because you slept in Kitty's room last night, and Kitty was in with me.
I slept in the only room in the house where we can do anything. Having a hangover is one thing. In a house with all these rooms, and we can only be in this room, Kitty's bedroom, which I slept in.
Yeah, I know. Anyway, but I knew that it was all bad when you bounced downstairs this morning going, well, I came home at 11:30 and I was asleep by 1 and I woke up at 6. As if you were trying to like talk yourself into the fact that you were underslept and hungover. And then you said to me about 20 minutes ago, I don't know why I'm so hungover. I only had 4 gimlets. 4 gimlets? I'd be in hospital after 4 gimlets.
Well, I went out for dinner and then I went to the Groucho Club, which I haven't been for years. And the chap who's just bought it was there. So he kept sending over gimlets, mm-hmm. vodka and lime cordial, my favourite, which I used to drink when
it
I
was gin and lime cordial.
Oh yeah, it was gin.
Right,
I'm a bit hungover.
Oh,
you're right,
my
it's gin.
God.
Vodka
right.
gimlet, gin gimlet. No, it's gin.
Yeah. Okay. Right. So moving on.
All I have to do is not be hungover by the time I write my column. When you give me an idea for it.
So I wondered if we could talk about another famous drinker, Richard Harris.
Right. Just a sort of brutal, angry, stupid,
drunken
bastard.
You actually don't have as much of a problem with alcohol as I do.
It was him and... sorry, you'd be talking about your alcoholism now.
Well, we can if you like, but I don't think we've really got enough time. The podcast is only half an hour long. So it was, you mean Richard Harris and Oliver...
Stone.
Stone. No,
Twist.
No.
You're the one with the brain this morning. Oliver Reynolds. Oliver, the guy with the punchy guy.
Yeah.
Who Oliver, died and they still made the film anyway in Gladiator.
Gladiator. He died halfway through Gladiator.
Oliver Reed.
Well done. So it's Richard Harris, Oliver Reed.
I think Peter O'Toole, Richard Burton.
That's right.
That's all they really... And then they acted in some things which just involved shouting and punching and...
So this story... this story, which was in The Times, is about Jared Harris... who is one of Richard Harris's, I think, three sons.
The
Jared,
one you always
Damian
forget, the
Jamie.
Actor, and you always go, oh, gosh. But he was in the thing with the advertising.
He's in everything. He's very,
Mad
very
Men.
Good.
He's amazing. He's in Mad Men. And once a year for the last 10 years, I've seen a story about Jared Harris being Richard Harris's son. I go, of course, Jared, he's Richard Harris's son. I didn't know that. One entity forgets it and then remembers.
Well, Jared Harris, I mean, I know that fathers and sons are always a big conversation in this house, but Jared Harris is one of those examples of someone who is, I mean, he's possibly even like a better actor than Richard Harris. I mean, Jared is an amazing
actor. Better than Richard
actor.
Harris? Yeah. Better than just getting absolutely hammered and going, rah, and then
right.
punching someone.
Well, I wonder, I mean, you seem to have quite a head of steam about this. I wonder if there's something to say about Richard Harris. So this story that was in The Times is about how Jared Harris, who is now 61, recalled a story where his father had gone head-to-head with a younger man in Covent Garden. Dad hits the guy with a sucker punch, he said. He pretends to put his Guinness down and then leaps up and knocks the man out. The guy's out cold on the floor and his girlfriend's dancing around saying, you killed my boyfriend. So Dad throws his Guinness in the guy's face and when he starts to wake, realises, I'm not going to win
round
two. What's
the story about? Why is this in the newspaper?
Well, this is in the newspaper because Jared Harris is in a documentary called The Ghost of Richard Harris,
right,
in which Jared and his two brothers, Damon and Jamie, unpack their father's archives, which included photographs, letters, literary works, documents and blah, blah, blah. So you seem to feel quite strongly about Oliver Twist Stone Reed and also Peter O'Toole. And
I'm shouting a lot and faking enthusiasm to try and mask my hangover.
Oh, okay.
Nothing rattling, my brain rattling around in my head like pee.
I wonder. I mean, I did think that maybe there was a column about kind of manliness and being a man, and there's an angle where you could say you're not crazy about snowflakes, but it's just so much. When I think about what passed for manliness when I look at Oliver Reed and Richard Burton and Richard Harris and Peter O'Toole, I think we've actually come quite a long way, or something like that. You know, when I think about how to teach my son to be a man and not to shove couscous down the shirt of another boy at school because he's saying something mean about QPR. Not that, hypothetically, that didn't happen. Or maybe it did.
Well, Sam got in trouble for fighting. There's two things there. You took Sam to a boxing class yesterday as well, didn't you? But
your boxing class is a bit real for Sam, yeah. But perfectly real. I'm going next week.
Are you?
Yeah. Intro to boxing on Thursday.
And that's not because of all the hot, muscly young men there.
No, they weren't that hot or muscly. They were fine. They were just boxing types are a type. They were just sort of love genial young men.
You need to hold this podcast together and keep it in a straight line and a narrative because my brain's everywhere.
Okay.
But we're jumping about. So there's Richard Harris punching someone. You alluded to Sam's punishment at school. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. Possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Sam was brought out of school by his form teacher the other day, and she walked towards me, sort of. With Sam, and I thought, oh, he's banged his head or something and had a special concussion notice or something. You know, so he's found, and in fact, no, she wanted to talk to say that, you know, that Sam's in trouble because he hit a boy at school.
Which he denies
For dissing his football team. And Sam was a Queen's Park Rangers fan, and this boy who's a Liverpool fan had been dissing him and saying QPR were rubbish. And the fact is, if you're a QPR, you know, she was telling me this, and I was going, you know.
Well, no, because the funny thing was not that he hit the ball.
Oh, I'm coming to that. I'm
denies.
Telling the story right, in a okay, row, then. So getting to the funny bit afterwards, having okay. set up the thing so that people know what I'm talking about, mm-hmm. controversially. So she brought him out, and he was in trouble, and it was just very. And she said, you know, Sam's in trouble because he hit someone, and it's quite hard not to laugh at the thought of it because how bad a thing can a 9-year-old really do?
So slugging each other, yeah, in the lunch hall.
And it turned out that it's very difficult if you're a Queen's Park Rangers fan because. When a Liverpool fan says your team is rubbish, you don't know what to say because you are much more rubbish. It's a whole separate thing and it's a whole different kind of commitment. So Sam said, I didn't punch him. I poured couscous down the back of his neck, mm-hmm. pulled open his shirt and put two portions of couscous down, which made it into a wonderfully middle-class crime. I like that. Mm. Ever since Roy Keane and his prawn sandwiches, we have, you know, there's a sort of default line, which I think, and I think Sam, anyway, I can't talk.
Okay, fine. Well, so let's leave that behind. I know it's nice talking about Sam, but let's talk about your column, actually. My idea for you is that there is this talking point about what it is to be a man. Okay, so we've got Richard Harris's sons looking back on the fact that he was a brawler and a drinker, and him, along with Richard Burton, very manly Welshman, and lots of brawling and drinking and smoking. And these were the kind of, you know, masculine, oh, I want to be like, and we want to be like them. When now it's sort of faintly awful to be sort of going around sort of pretending to put, you know, fainting to put your Guinness glass down and then just sort of punching him in the nuts when he's not looking, that kind of thing. You know, is that heroic now? Was it heroic then? What does it all mean? And who are Sam's kind of masculine icons going to be? And I suppose sort of heroes now are kind of that nice boy who organised the free school lunches, Rashford, Marcus Rashford. You know, that there's this kind of sort of slick, agile sportsmen who also do good things. Those are models of masculinity now. And is that better or worse than Richard Burton and Oliver Reed?
That nice boy who organises free school lunches is a funny way to talk about Marcus Rashford.
I just briefly couldn't remember his name.
No, quite, I was thinking Jamie Oliver. and Marcus Rashford is off to the World Cup. Did he get in the team, Ben? He did get in the team. So they've all let themselves down terribly. I mean, I don't know whether I should let Sam watch it.
Right.
I don't know whether
that's a good column.
Whether
isn't
we should pretend the World Cup isn't really happening. I find it quite. It's sort of distressing that they don't understand how terrible it is.
Mm-hmm. You touched on it in a notebook, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah, you said that. But I mean, the thing is that isn't this simply the inevitable kind of, you know, Greek tragedy conclusion that you have when a sport is so massively overfunded and overhyped, and it's not even, it's like Cristiano Ronaldo, one of his criticisms about Manchester United, it's not a sports club, it's a marketing exercise.
Yes, unfortunately, I would say the criticism of Cristiano Ronaldo is that he's not a sportsman, he's a marketing object. He's far more interested in his brand than he is. Anyway, look,
I want to talk about that because I think people having a go at Cristiano Ronaldo is actually really, really unfair. Because what he is he is a sole trader, and I think that he has become a product of the football system. I think football has the footballers it deserves, rather. And Cristiano Ronaldo, he's absolutely entitled. He's 36 or 37. He's made the most of his slightly strange personality and his, whatever. I don't. Is he talented? Yes. I mean, I feel like he's talented.
Yeah, he's a very good footballer.
And he sort of works out a lot and sort of looks amazing. And he is operating within the bounds of this slightly broken thing. No.
Yes, I'm starting to think about whether he's a bit like Richard Harris. Sort of still brawling on at 37, or you know, looking at the sort of very, you know, is he a better or worse role model? So just trying to think, because my head's in a bit of a mess. What about sort of, does it have a peg? But like role models for Sam this week, Richard Harris,
yeah,
the footballers. You're right. I did touch on the footballers, and I did say what I thought. So there's a limit to how much I can surprise people with my opinion that they shouldn't be going to the World Cup. That men who purport to care about political things, which footballers do now, they take the knee. Mm. It's this controversial thing. I support fully the taking of the knee. I find it moving and sweet that they do it. And at Queen's Park Rangers, I don't know whether they do in the Premier League, I don't watch that. But at QPR, which has always been a club with lots of black players and always been part of a West London mixed ethnic community, they do it every week for about 15 seconds. Everybody claps, nobody whistles. I find it moving and good that they do that. But then, we're not sending any players to the World Cup, apart from two Africans, a Moroccan and a Senegalese who probably won't even play. But all these other players going off to the World Cup, they've been taking the knee, and now they're all flying off to make their name, they hope, in a country where they still have slavery. So taking the knee is about slavery, it's about Black Lives Matter, it's about the legacy of slavery and colonialism. Mm-hmm. Qatar still has slavery, it still has indentured labourers, effectively, migrant workers that died building the stadiums. I was speaking to a very, very famous commentator about 2 weeks ago, I was having dinner with, and he says, no, can't mix sport and politics like that. They're footballers, it's the biggest moment of their career. They're just football, it's none of their business. They've got to be allowed to go there, you know, so it's a great unifying thing. But they are, because you mentioned Marcus Rashford, because they campaign, because they criticise our government. They take the knee because they think that there is systemic racism in this country which still needs to be stamped out, and they must. And then they've gone to a country which is...
It's like a plot twist.
And homosexuality is illegal, even though they wear rainbow armbands.
It's like a plot twist in a Ben Elton book.
Yes.
It's like, you know, they're doing all these amazing political campaigning, and then they're faced with going to this really difficult country in terms of...
And that would be actually a stand. Although taking the knee with all your mates is not actually brave.
And they get shit for it. They do get shit for it.
Of course. And after the last World Cup, the three black players who missed penalties we don't know how much, but it was all on Twitter. You continue to hope it was just a few people making a lot of noise, but they, of course, they get all that. But a really, really big gesture would be to say we're not going to Qatar. There'll be more from Esther and me in our kitchen after a short interlude. But to find out what I wrote about in the end, why not pick up a subscription to The Times and The Sunday Times and enjoy 1 month absolutely free? Just search thetimes.co.uk/Giles Corran has no idea. I've been promised that this will take you to an amazing offer, rather than just a website created by Ben randomly containing all my broadcasting mistakes. Although I'm sure that exists somewhere, it's just going to be up to you to find it.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, you're possibly not in the mood to discuss this, but there was a story today in the Times on Monday about men flying to the United States for leg lengthening surgery.
Yes.
Increasing numbers of British men are flying to the United States for leg lengthening surgery in an attempt to become taller. This sounds absolutely horrific. While the techniques used vary, the operations can cost... Do you know how much they cost? Have a guess. Don't look at your story.
Well, I cut it out as well, you see.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, don't look. Okay. Yes. Do you know? Can
a
you
leg
remember?
Lengthening thing.
Yeah, in America.
Well, let's see. My penis lengthening operation was about 14,000. So I would imagine, I don't know, leg lengthening, it must be 50,000 quid.
Yeah, not, it's 80,000, because this is America, of
so
course.
80,000 quid. Okay. If what they could do
yeah.
was make you, it claims 3 inches taller, for yeah. 80,000 quid, that would be brilliant. But if what you get is yeah. having your legs broken in 14 different places and being in traction for 5 years and then finally standing up and wobbling off down the road like your legs are made of spaghetti
yeah.
for the rest of your
horribly,
life.
Horribly, horribly, horribly scarred. Because how else can they do it? They can't give you... Your legs aren't going to look like Cristiano Ronaldo's, are they? They're going to be some sort of horrible Frankenstein's monster sort of mishmash of different... I mean, let's just describe what the procedure is, okay? They generally involve... breaking bones in the legs and gradually lengthening them using devices. Few surgeons in the UK offer the procedures for cosmetic purposes. It sounds absolutely horrendous. In Harry Potter, when Harry Potter breaks all his bones in his body and then someone makes the bones in his body, in his arm, disappear... The nurse
they
gives
make
him...
all this... Oh, I wish I... I must go read those 7 novels, which I've never... Because
the nurse gives him, Madame Pomfrey, I think she's called, gives him Skelligrow. And there's a passage where J.K.
Skelligrow, she's brilliant, that J.K.
She
Rowling.
Is. She
she's
is.
Not just up there on gender rights, but she can invent really brilliant names for things that grow your skeleton, like Skelligrow.
Skelligrow. And there's a passage in a book where she describes how painful... the process of regrowing bones is. And I think it's probably as painful as this.
I love the fact that that's your medical reference book. It's not Grey's Anatomy.
People will enjoy it.
It's J.K. Rowling says it's really painful growing bones. Yeah. You're bringing this up because you've cut this out because you feel that you're married to a shorter man. Is that right? I mean, relative to our producer
yes.
here, who was Ben, who was telling us that he was 6 foot tall when he was 11. Mm. I'd literally have had him put down. You can't find this fucking 6 foot thing. It's bad enough
bearing
having a 5 foot son.
Well, bearing in mind that Sam is going to be 6'2" and Kitty's going to be your height, there is a thing. I think you're the. Look, to me, you're the perfect.
I know, but look. So here's this thing. So there's the oldest patient is a guy called Debbie Parshat is the surgeon Kevin Debbie Parshat. His oldest patient was 68, a British architect who was living in the US and increased his height by 3 inches. He said he explained that he'd always wanted to be taller and that he wants to go through the rest of his life knowing what it's like to be 5'9".
Yeah.
The guy, and I want to tell him, being 5'9", mate, what it's like is people think you're short.
Yeah.
So he has had his height increase from 5'6" to 5'9", only to have people like Ben going, hello, short ass.
Ben would never do that.
No, Ben's actually people he's one of the nice tall people.
People like Jeremy Clarkson going, hello, short ass.
All Jeremy ever talks about.
Yeah.
Now how he wants to put rest his pint on my head.
Aww.
Yeah. But he doesn't
That's
rest
mean,
his pint. He throws
it
straight down and then throws the next one down and the next. He stores his pints in his mouth. But there is a possible sort of... for most patients, the maximum increase
like
in height...
like a kind of beer hamster.
For most...
wobbling around. Anyway, sorry, go on.
Well, see, there's what the column would be me in defence of short people.
Of course. Like, obviously. I'm not saying you're going to write a column about leg length.
Can I just roll out if I'm still hungover tomorrow? Are we drinking tonight? Oh, you're out and I'm home.
I'm out. I have to
But you'll have hangover tomorrow.
No, I have to be quite sober tonight.
Really?
Yeah, because it's lots and lots of people. And when I get drunk, I embarrass myself. So I have to not.
The maximum increase in height is 6 inches. I'm sorry, but what do they put in? It involves breaking bones in the legs and gradually lengthening them using devices.
I mean,
is that all they say? Okay, do it then, mate. And you go into a general anaesthetic and they
how long does it take?
And how do the bones heal? And is your knee still bent? Or are you like someone on stilts?
Do you know what? I think it's because that I think due to...
I could be 6'3". I could be Ben's height. Are you 6'3"? I could be 6'3".
Bumping your head on things and look, I can't like sit properly on an aeroplane.
And I think when I was finally healed from whatever thing had made me 6'3", I think Ben would probably beat me in a fight.
Yeah.
I've got a feel, and I doubt I'd be able to run away on the legs that had been stretched by 6 inches.
Exactly. I mean, you are quite scrappy. So I wouldn't want anyone. I wouldn't fancy anyone's chances against you in an actual fight. You'd sort of bite people and stuff.
It's better being short. You can just
you pretend to put your Guinness down and then punch them in the nuts.
He said, "I think with men, there's pressure to have a particular stature, tall, dark, and handsome. So I do think there is this association with masculinity, being a man, having a certain stature.
I also think that there is a massive problem. I think the problem is being made worse because of." Fucking disgusting dating apps. So when you as a person on a dating app, you make your profile and you know what you're looking for and what you're looking for in a person, and lots of, this is not me just me saying this, but the things that you're looking for in a person, they're completely arbitrary, and all girls say tall, you know. Whereas,
do you have to put your height on a dating app?
I believe so. And then there's a lot of men say, you know, I'm 6 foot tall, when they're actually 5'9". But it's completely stupid and arbitrary, because your dream man might be 5'10", you know, and because you said oh, well, I don't want, it's just silly. It's just completely silly. And this whole thing about height in men, which is completely, completely, completely stupid and completely arbitrary and doesn't mean anything. It's led to men spending £80,000 on having their legs broken and put back together. I mean, it's just completely shit.
Well, also, it's very expensive, but then if women ever do go out with a short man, it's only because they're rich. So when women say they don't like short men...
No, I go out with you because you're funny. Although you did tell me that you were rich when we first met, it's true. You did advertise that, perhaps.
Also, I think 5'9", which I am, is the commonly accepted like cutoff point between midgets and humans. I think there's a thing where it's like, it's really bad for blokes who are like 5 foot. No, Richie's 5'6", isn't he, or something? I mean, he's properly small.
He's petite, yeah.
And I think that's the thing. Like 5'9" is just about acceptable as long as you've got a car and a job and money. Mm. And then you need more money going down. So at 5'7", you can. And the thing about this leg length,
until
thing,
we get to Bernie,
it's very
Eccleston.
Expensive. But short men are broadly wealthier than tall men, aren't they? They're like Bernie Eccleston, because.
Well, he actually had polio, so that's completely different. Yeah, but well, that's why his daughters are taller than
he
is.
True. So, but if you're shorter, it's okay if you've got money. But the thing is, if you spent all your money on your legs lengthening,
exactly,
it's like,
what have you got
kind
left?
Of girl can you get if you're if you're 5'6" with a couple hundred grand to spare? Mm-hmm. A bird will go out with you. Spend it all on becoming 5'10", but having no money.
But you still don't meet the 6 foot cutoff.
And when you meet a girl in a pub, saying, and she goes, oh, you're really tall. I go, because should we go out for dinner? He said, well, I haven't got any money. Why not? I spent it all on my leg lengthening operation. She said, ooh, can't wait to get you into bed. And also, sorry, the aforementioned penis size thing.
Right.
What if you had your... Because there's proportionality, isn't there? Doesn't all appendages, by and large, go... It's all about the same. Basically, if you're 5'4" with the sort of penis someone of 5'4" can carry around, and you have an operation to make you 6'4", but you don't have your penis lengthened,
right,
aren't you going to have like a disproportionately small penis?
My very, 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 very small experience, because obviously I was a virgin until we met, it doesn't go together.
You've only seen my penis. You can't...
I have, yes.
No, you're saying it doesn't go together.
No, not reliably. Okay, I've got one more. I've got two more. Look, you always say, oh, you never prepare. Look, I've carried you through this entire podcast. Okay.
What? You think you've kept... I think we've barely started.
Okay. Well, I've got two more stories and they're quite good.
Okay.
Okay, from the Mail this week. Off to a dinner party, says the headline. Prepare for a ready meal. Ditch the napkin rings and don't bother laying the table. The traditional dinner party is dead. I wonder what shit survey this is from. Guests can now expect microwaved ready meals while they slump on the sofa, a survey suggests. The poll of 2,000 Britons found 8 in 10 reckoned the very term dinner party was old hat and most of us wouldn't bother dressing up, with 70% opting for their comfiest clothes such as sweatshirts and tracksuit bottoms.
Just have a look and see if this is sponsored by Deliveroo or something.
Yeah, I know. I'm just... A spokesman for kitchen appliance firm Stoves, which commissioned the survey, said a starter of olives and hummus with pita bread, a microwave main course. Fucking hell. I mean, I'm lazy, but I wouldn't do that. A microwave main course and some ice cream with berries for dessert took just 7 minutes to put together and cost around £20 for four friends.
Ugh.
Yeah. Food writer Rose Prince, hi Rose, said dinner party show Come Dine With Me has scared many off inviting friends around to eat. So I wondered if there was something to... Dinner parties are always quite fun to talk about, aren't they?
I mean, the dinner party is dead story is like the oldest, most written. I mean,
kind of is, isn't it? Yeah.
They just it's all the time. It's people... Ever since There's Nigella, cook to show who you are, not who you want to be.
Yeah.
You know, don't try to... Yeah, is.
But they... Another thing that you do that is always very popular and reasonably straightforward to write is sort of nostalgia pieces. So I wondered if there was something about your... Because you quite often talk about the dinner party... Excuse me.
What was that? Was that a little belch?
It's a little hunger belch, yeah. Because I'm doing my fast and I get a little kind of hunger belches when my stomach's... Basically my stomach saying, where's my fucking toast? And me saying, can't have it yet, sorry. And you quite often lament to me that we never have... And you say, oh, you know, when I was little, my parents used to stay up until 2 a.m. playing craps or bridge or whatever it is.
Craps?
And what is craps?
It's a dice game. They play in casinos.
Is it? I don't mean craps.
You kiss your hand and go, rattle, 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 come on, mama needs a new pair of shoes. And you the dice and, yeah,
I'm not really
They play bridge, but anyway.
So they would play bridge and stay up really late and, you know, the nanny would put you to bed and stuff and there was this kind of glamorous dinner party happening downstairs. And that doesn't happen in our house because we don't have a nanny and we don't want to stay up until 2 o'clock in the morning.
Nobody wants
and
to come to our house.
I don't invite people around to our house because I just get so tired and stressed by 9 o'clock. And my closest friends know that you have to leave at 9:30, but other people don't. Anyway, I just think that there's a nostalgia dinner party piece to be done. You look fucking bored.
Well, if you're saying the dinner party is dead, mm-hmm. We never really have dinner parties, but we have got to do some cooking over Christmas.
Yes.
Maybe we can just give people... hummus and olives and then a microwave main course.
Okay,
and...
so what you're telling me is that you want to do a humorous column about it all. Making a Christmas dinner for lots of people all sounds like fun in theory, but when it comes to it, it's all a big clattery mess. You could do like a Three Men in a Boat kind of hilarious, farcical slapstick thing.
Yeah.
And then say, so you could start, so in terms of like structuring the column, you could start off saying, dinner party is dead, people are doing olives and hummus and then microwaving a main course, that disgusting, go on like that for a bit and say, well, I don't know about you, but well, over Christmas, we're hosting 12 people and we're going to have a capon and a this and a this. And in fact, I did a practice run over the weekend and then this happened and this happened, this happened. In fact, you know what? I'm off to Marks and Spencer's or something like that.
I've just realised that I did write a column which it was along the line of roll up for your Christmas badger. Last year, when there were shortages of everything because of lockdown, and I did the Christmas meal you could make if you can't actually get, which is a shame because I'd like to roll that. Another excuse to roll that out would be the fact that the avian flu is meaning no turkeys.
But why don't you just roll them all up together? And you could the peg can be the dinner party's bed is dead, and then you say this is pathetic too, because I think quite a lot of people would see microwaving a main meal for four people and they would go, what? You know, that, I mean, is anyone actually doing that? Maybe that's snobby of me, I don't know. I feel like...
Was that a burp or a cough or what are we...
There's another
hunger burp followed
fasting.
By a small throat clear.
Yeah, yeah.
And then a cough.
It's all going on, it's a riot, it's a disco, it's a party. Oh, by the way, so this Christmas, all right, we've got to have separate jobs. I cannot, either you're doing the bird or I'm doing the bird. Okay, am I going to do it all?
Brilliant.
That's great. Fine, perfect. But then you were not allowed, like literally not allowed in the kitchen. Like looking over my shoulder and poking it saying, are we going to, don't forget to have some food.
But then if you rest it, don't rest it with the thing so that the skin gets all nice and crispy. Because what's really bad is when, no?
I'm sorry, I rested the chicken this weekend with foil and the thing and the skin was perfectly crispy.
Yes, it was, you're quite right. No complaints about dinner this weekend.
No, it was quite nice, wasn't it?
Mm.
And you didn't need to come in and interfere or poke it about or be annoying at all. So You know, look, it's a rich seam that you can mine for this piece that you're going to.
I'm slightly worried if I've had my 6-inch leg operation by then, I won't be able to bend down to get into the turkey into the oven.
I'm actually a bit worried it's not going to fit in the oven. A capon.
Well, there's an avian flu. We won't be able to get any of those things.
Oh God, you're right. Actually, I did actually email the butcher and he hasn't got back to me. So maybe there is a. Maybe it's just going to be we're going to have to shoot our pigeon in the back garden.
Yeah.
Squirrel. Yeah, there we go.
It last year. I did literally Christmas badger last year. Rose.
Well, you're just going to have to recycle it and make it slightly different.
You've been listening to Giles Corran Has No Idea with me, Giles Corran.
And me, Esther Walker.
It's a Wireless Studios production for The Times, produced by Ben Mitchell. You can listen to us on The Times Radio app or download from wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.